This is 6:30:19 Sunday morning. This little teaching is going to go kind of with the one about meditation. This is called, What Are You Waiting For? Rise and Be Healed. This will be a short one. James chapter 2. Verse 17. So also faith, if it does not have works, by itself is destitute of power. But someone will say, you have faith, works, and works. Now you show me your faith apart from any works, and I by works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one, you do well. So do the demons believe and shudder? Are you willing to be shown, you foolish fellow, that that faith apart from works is inactive and ineffective and worthless? Was not our forefather Abraham justified by works when he brought to the altar an offering his son Isaac? You see that his faith was cooperating with his works, and faith was completed and reached its supreme expression by works. So the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed in, trusted in, relied on God, and this was accounted to him as righteousness. It says here, conformity to God's will. And he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified through what he does and not alone through faith. So also with Rahab the harlot, was she not shown to be justified by deeds when she took in the scouts and sent them away by a different route? For as the human body apart from the spirit is lifeless, so faith apart from works of obedience is also dead. Okay. Got a few scriptures here. Matthew chapter 8 is the first one I want to look at. Verse 5. As Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to him, begging him and saying, Lord, my servant boy is lying at the house, paralyzed and distressed with intense pains. And Jesus said to him, I will come and restore him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I'm not worthy or fit to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant boy will be cured. For also am a man subject to authority with soldiers subject to me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, I tell you truly, I have not found so much faith as this with anyone, even in Israel. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, while the sons and heirs of the kingdom will be driven out into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. Then to the centurion Jesus said, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant boy was restored from health at that very moment. To health. And when Jesus went into, okay, that's, I want to stop there, but pick up with 14, another thought. And when Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying ill with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began waiting on him. I guess she could have still just laid there like she was puny, but she got up. 9:27. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, shouting loudly, have pity and mercy on us, son of David. And he reached the house and went in. The blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith and trust and reliance, be it done to you. And their eyes were opened. When Jesus spoke, he said, you know, it might take a little while. Don't get discouraged, you know, sooner or later. Either you believe it or you don't. Mark 2. You know, when they tell you, they send you a notice, you get an email saying, the deposit's cleared the bank, your money's in the bank. Do you ever really see that money in that bank? But we take their word, never giving another thought. But God, you know, that's something else. Woo, you know. He should be the one we believe the most and the quickest over anybody in the world. We'll take anybody's word. People will go to a doctor they don't know and take whatever he says. Whatever he says, and do whatever he says. Mark 2:2. And so many people gathered together there that there was no room, longer room, not even around the door, and he was discussing the word. Then they came, bringing a paralytic to him who had been picked up and was being carried by four men. And when they could not get him to a place in front of Jesus because of the throng, they dug through the roof above him. And when they had scooped out an opening, they let down the quilt or mat upon which the paralyzed man lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven and put away." Now some of the scribes were sitting there holding a dialogue with themselves as they questioned in their hearts, "Why does this man talk like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins?" A lot of unbelief in that place, except God alone. And at once, Jesus, becoming fully aware in his spirit that they thus debated within themselves, said to them, "Why do you argue about all this in your hearts? Which is easier to say, to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven and put away,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your sleeping pad or mat and start walking about'? But that you may know, positively beyond a doubt, that the Son of Man has right and authority and power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I say to you, arise, pick up and carry your sleeping pad or mat and be going on home." And he arose at once. Well, I don't feel healed. "And picked up the sleeping pad or mat and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and recognized and praised and thanked God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this before.'" I know many times Brother Hagin talked about dealing with people, and he'd have a whole long line of people that God healed, and there'd be one. "Well, I ain't going to believe something I can't see, I can't feel." Jesus didn't say, "When you feel like it, won't you see if you can, you know, maybe get up?" It locates you whether you believe it or not. We don't walk by how we feel, and our healing's not based on how we feel. So why would we check how we feel to determine whether we are or not? You might as well get used to it, living in this sensorial world by Satan, the god of this world, and the opposition that we deal with. You just might as well get ready. You're healed whether or not you feel like it or not, because God's word already says it's so. Okay, Luke 17, verse 12. "And as he was going into one village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they raised up their voices and called, 'Jesus, Master, take pity and have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cured and made clean." Did they have any evidence? It's kind of like with the water pots. The people bearing the pots knew it was water. And it said, when they scooped it out to give it to the governor of the feast, it said it just now turned to wine. They carried their faith out as far as they possibly could, knowing it's water. And, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to get fired." Okay, John 5. Faith's corresponding action. Faith without works is dead. All right, John 5:2. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the sheep gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great number of sick folk, some blind, some crippled, some paralyzed, waiting for the bubbling up of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at appointed season into the pool, moved and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you want to become well?" The invalid answered, "Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool, but while I'm trying to come myself, somebody else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed and walk." Instantly the man became well and recovered his strength and picked up his bed and walked. I was thinking about something way back, because when I was pregnant with Dan, I was 8 months pregnant. Danny brought a couple over to our house, and they got born again. And she had really bad diabetes, not type 2, whatever, you know, but she really had a damaged pancreas, so she had to have insulin. And I remember she got prayed for, and she was believing God, and she went several days without any insulin, but then her husband got scared. She had her healing. But the unbelief around her caused her to go that other direction. It's just that simple. If we could get people to believe, we could empty the hospitals today. Go into those wards and say, "Get up and walk. Jesus has healed you." Just like this man, instantly. Instantly. Jesus warned Jairus to treat his daughter as though she were healed, lest she lapse back into sickness and die again. This is what happened in this case. She believed she was well, and she went days with no sugar restoring at all. And then Satan came to steal the word, and her husband got scared. Started treating her sick. And she lapsed back. Happens all the time. I remember somebody I know, they had a lump in their breast, and their first inclination was to do nothing. But she got pressure from family members. So she went, had surgery, and they messed up her breast, all that mess, went through all of that, and there was nothing. Pressure, see? Okay, Mark 5:43. Oh, thank you, Jesus. "I have come in my Father's name and with his power, and you do not receive me. But if another comes in his own name, in his own power, and with no other authority but himself, you will receive him and give him your approval." Like I said, we go to the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief, and believe everything they say, the banker. Take them at their word, never give it another thought. But when it comes to things of God, we waver. All right, Luke, wait a minute. Luke 8:55. Oh, this is just the scripture where I told you Jairus' daughter. Um, 51. Let's go to Luke 8:51. And when he came to the house, he permitted no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. And all were weeping and bewailing her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing full well that she was dead. And grasping her hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he directed that she should be given something to eat. Well, people eat. Dead people don't. I remember Brother Hagin being in a meeting, and the pastor, a lady got up, and she wanted them to pray for her neighbor. Neighbor was, they thought was dying, and so they prayed that she'd live and not die. She would recover. So they, it happened just like she said. And so the second night, the lady gets up and said, "I think we need to pray again and just agree that the Lord will complete the work." And Brother Hagin said, "I knew the moment that she got up and said that, they prayed again, that they took her out of the hands of the Lord and took her right out of it, and the woman ended up lapsing and dying. They let unbelief get in." Well, you know, and I hear that. You know, I'll get, you know, get a prayer request about something. You pray that, and the next day they want you to pray something else, the next day something else. I said, "Didn't we agree already up here? Why are we doing this and this and this and this? Is it odd that they never did get any help?" Huh? Okay. In the walk of faith, we cannot just go through the motions. We are not to be moved by any of our senses. We are only to move by God, be moved by God's word. We walk by faith and not by sight. The devil will love to touch your sensorium, because that's the that's where he operates. He comes to steal the word. Okay. James 1. Verse 2. James said, "Consider it holy joyful, my brethren, whenever you're enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations." That's when your senses are being touched. "Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience." It's a training exercise. "But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work." In other words, don't let a reaction take place, but action. "But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, that you may be perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing." Like the house on the rock or the house on the sand. "If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, to gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, will be given him." I know there's times I'll say, "Lord, I feel like I've done all I know to do. What am I supposed to do about this now?" And he'll let me know. He'll say something to me. It's what he's saying right here in the midst of the trial. And you're needing wisdom. "Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, for the one who wavers is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a man of two minds, he's unstable, unreliable, and uncertain about everything." So it's kind of like David. David had a continual problem with the Philistines over and over and over and over again. And with every attack, what did he do? He inquired of the Lord. It's not always one size fits all. Ecclesiastes 11:4 talks about that if you observe the clouds, you will not sow. And that's not just money. That's for what you need in the kingdom of God. But we have to trust God when we sow. We sow the word. Who comes to steal the word? The devil. Okay. All right, 1 Samuel 17, we see a prime example of David. Everybody else ran for the foxhole. What did David do? He ran towards the problem. Said, oh no, I'm going to cut your head off. God's word must be our meditation or our dwelling place. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, is my refuge, my fortress, in him will I trust. All right, Philippians 4. If you're down today concerning a trial or something you're going through, Philippians 4's got your number. I can tell you right here, I can locate you. I can tell you where you've been according to how you're feeling. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Are you rejoicing? Are you doing it always? 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, or there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh, take account of these things, fix your minds on them. So, where are you dwelling? Are you meditating on what's good, lovely, the good report, what God's word says about your situation, or how you feeling? Well, and I got this thing hearing. Going through your organ recital. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Rise and be healed. If the Lord were here today, that's what he would say.